after the Mabel, after the flood, we find, Chumash tells us, the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Cham, and Yafet, Cham being the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole world was spread out. We now have the moment of exiting the Teva, exiting the ark, and entering into what we call the New World Order. What did Noach do? Noach, the man of the earth, Ish Adama, Vayachel Noach, he debased himself, that's Rashi Pshat, and Vayachel Melashon Chulin, and planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine, he became drunk, he uncovered himself within his tent, and then the Chumash goes on to tell us what happened. We've spoken about these psukim before, and we'll come to similar conclusions and similar lessons, but the way we're going to reach those ideas are going to be very different than in the past. And that's the beauty of Torah, of uncovering depth upon depth of the same psukim that we've seen before, and to be able to glean tremendous lessons for our lives. When we take a look at these psukim, ask Rav Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yinkom Damo, in source number 3. What was so wrong that Rashi Chazal criticized Noach, and Vayachel Noach, that Noach debased himself, instead of Vayachel being that Noach Hitchil began, and that they criticize him, they call him an Isha Dama, when he, as the Medrash says, originally was an Ish Sadi. He was referred to as a righteous person, and now he's an Isha Dama. He's a man of the earth, that Noach fell from such great heights to such great depths. Why are we being so critical of Noach? He says, after all, he was avel kol haolam. He was mourning for the destruction of the world. What's wrong for Noach to have a drink to make himself feel good? He just witnessed the destruction of the entire world, something we can't even imagine. Is there anything terrible in just being able to try to recoup and drink some wine? Why are we being so critical of Noach? Further, we need to understand that why is the Chumash pointing this out to us? Why is it so important? We know every single pasuk in Chumash is teaching us a lesson for life. What are we to learn that the Chumash is telling us that Noach left the Teva and he built a kerem, he planted a vineyard? What significance is this for our lives? We know that Noach is one of the most enigmatic personalities in Chumash. Beginning of the Sefer Parsha, we know that Rashi tells us that there is Yesh Darshim Oto L'Shevach V'Yesh Darshim Oto L'Gnai. Some understand him in a favorable light, and some understand him in a negative light. And I'd like to try to take a look at this story of Noach and planting the vineyard in a similar way. We'll first take a look at it, as we've just discussed now, as Vayachel Noach L'Shon Chulin, that Noach debased himself, he went from an Ish Tzadik to an Ish Adama, and to try to understand what went wrong, what is it that we can learn from Noach, and then to then take a look at the personality of Noach as an Ish Tzadik, and be able to look at the same story from a very positive angle, and what were the motivations of Noach on a very positive level, and what went wrong, also that we can learn from the Pesukim. We'll take a look at two on the first level, two on the second level, and hopefully Mirtz Hashem glean many lessons for our lives. Why is this so significant? Why is this so special? And the answer to this question is, one approach is what Rav Volbi points out in Source 4a. Noah spent an entire year of total selflessness in the ark, where he sustained an untold number of animals and lived a truly spiritual life as a prophet of Hashem. Therefore, the Torah tells us that Noach made himself mundane and planted a vineyard. Rashi explains the initial choice should have been to plant something different, since wine is the ability to intoxicate, which in fact happened to Noach. Right? He should have planted wheat or something else. When a person experiences a spiritual lift and then does something that is not on par with his newfound level, he has in essence made himself mundane. For this reason, Chazal instituted that right after Yom Kippur, we build the sukkah. After every mitzvah through which one attains a greater deal of holiness, Shabbos, tefillah, he must be careful with regard to his subsequent actions, lest he make himself mundane. Right after Shabbos, Imalava Malka, be able to have that bridge from the high level Kedusha to enter into this world. The Hasidim Rishonim would wait an hour before they would daven to prepare themselves and an hour after davening. Ah, why do they need an hour after davening? Because you can't go from that high level of tefillah suddenly into this world. The night following Yom Kippur can be compared to the return flight of a space shuttle. The most dangerous aspect of the flight is the re-entry into the atmosphere. If the space shuttle does not enter at precisely the right angle, it will burn up from the friction caused by contact with the air. The key in 4B to a successful year is the ability to take the feeling of spirituality when experienced in Yamim Nara'im and stretch them, so to speak, to the subsequent days and weeks ahead. Rabosai, we've just come through a whole period, starting with Tu B'Av, and then Rosh Chodesh Elul, the month of Elul, and Rosh Hashanah, and the Aser Shemay Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, and the days preceding Sukkot, and then Sukkot, and Hoshana Rabbah, and Shemini Atzeret, and Simchas Torah. We've involved ourselves for a very long time on a high level of Kedusha. We've immersed ourselves into a spiritual bubble. The whole challenge now becomes, now what? The challenge becomes, how do we now re-enter into mundane life? Parashat Noach, which always falls right after, right time of Rosh Chodesh Bar Cheshvan, this is the question. How do we acclimate ourselves into, so to speak, normal air, not into Kedushatic air? Vayachel Noach, Noach becomes for us the paradigm of the challenge of what it means. Noach, who spent a year on the Teva, a year immersed in doing Avodas Hashem, how do you then re-enter into the world, the new world order, the new reality? And Noach, therefore, the story becomes for us a paradigm of our own behavior, our own modeling on how we can re-enter the world of Bar Cheshvan, a month without holidays, how we can be able to maintain that momentum. And that's why, as the Tova Panim points out, when we speak about that he should have had Shishinata Seder, V'nahag B'nigud L'Sechel, he went counter to what one would have thought to plant. He should have first planted wheat and food that is, you know, to sustain oneself. It's really a model for us as well, to be able to know what to work on, what is hechrechi, when we are trying to reacclimate ourselves into our new spiritual reality. We need to know what it is that is fundamental to work on, and not to work on these things that are above our level, that are, you know, the icing on the cake, when first and foremost we have to make sure our davening is in order, our mitzvahs are in order, before we take on these enduring and these extra things. Let's try to understand what went wrong. What was it that caused Noach, the Ishadik, to plant this Karen and then to get drunk? So Rav Uziel Malevsky, Zatzal, in Ner Uziel, notes the following. The vineyard Noah planted upon leaving the ark symbolizes his spiritual decline. Wine represents man's propensity for physicality. A nozir is someone who senses the powerful attraction of corporeality and decides to distance himself from it by abstaining from certain aspects of physicality. Significantly, the dominant element of the Nazirite vows a prohibition to drink wine of all things. Wine is forbidden to the nozir because it symbolizes man's obsession with physicality. This was part of Noah's intent when he planted his vineyard. He wished to immerse himself in earthly desires and discard all spiritual constraints. This reaction is hardly consistent with our impression of Noah's character. He was an extremely righteous person. He had witnessed the destruction of mankind, and only he and his family had been spared. How could such an individual turn away from Hashem? On the contrary, he should have felt an overwhelming sense of gratitude toward Hashem. We would expect that after the flood, he would resolve to serve Hashem with more devotion than ever. This can be explained in the following manner. When Noach disembarked from the ark, he was shocked by what he found. He immediately sensed that the human condition had deteriorated. The man had become a frail and vulnerable creature that was the mercy of the elements. Nature, which had previously been man's servant, now reigned supreme to control man's fate. Noach found the situation too difficult to bear. He reached a spiritual crossroad. The choice he faced was either to attempt to compensate for his fallen state by striving to attain higher levels of spirituality, or to simply give up. to step off the ledge of reason and plunge into the dark abyss of physicality. He chose the latter alternative. And perhaps to a less so degree, we are also faced with the same crossroads every year at this time. Do we maintain this high level of standard, the chumras we've taken on ourselves, the sense of spirituality, the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our lives, the Yiras Hashem that we've attained this month? Do we try to continue this pitch? Or do we say, you know what? It's just too much. Let's just throw in the towel. Who can live on this level? Let's just, so to speak, be normal. Let's return to the normal level. You know, the Maisa that they tell of Rav Elia Lopian Zatzel, who after the Ila would dance with his students, Lashana Bab Yushalayim, they would dance for a long time. And then they would begin Maariv. One year, Rav Elia, after the Ila was finished, after Lashana Bab Yushalayim, collapsed on the Shtender, Vahu Rachum, begin Maariv. And they went over to him and they said, after Maariv, was everything okay? Do you need something to eat? That you didn't dance this year? You're not feeling well? And he said, no. They said, well, is there a reason why every year you've always danced? We've always danced as a yeshiva. This year we didn't dance. He said, I'll tell you why. He says, every time I dance, I close my eyes. I'm in, like, you know, this level of dvekus. Last year I opened my eyes for the first time in dancing. And you know what I saw? I saw the Bochrim dancing, not because they were feeling this feeling of forgiveness for Klal Yisrael, and that we've attained a higher level, and that we're dancing from a place of connection and dvekus to Hashem. I saw that the boys were dancing, that thank God this is over. Thank God we can come back now to normal life. It was a dancing of freedom, not a dancing of connection. He said, such dancing we don't need. We'll go straight into Maariv. To a certain extent, all of us have this natural feeling. Shoo! All of this intensity is over. Now we can be normal. We can be ourselves. And that is mamish the crossroads that Noah was in to a certain extent. Well, we're it. How do we now deal with the new order? Do we say, oh, spirituality is just too hard to hold on? And Vayachal Noach, let's live the life of Chulin, the life of materialism, and let's, you know, leave the spirituality for next Elul? Or are we able to maintain that standard and move forward and higher from the experience that we just experienced? Rabosai, this challenge is really the challenge of Letach of Libov Rav Shortz Shlita notes in all of us. And that's the challenge that we are called an Adam. And we know in the arrow, Acha Emes, Ki Adam, Kalum, Yishneihem, we are really have two parts in us. We have the Adam, Milashon, Adama, that we're created from man, from the earth, and we have that earthliness part of us. And we also have the aspect of Adama, Milashon, Pasuk, and Yeshaya, Yudalit, Adama, Laelyo, that I resemble above. And Notzashla Kadosh, this is our challenge. Do we bring out, do we accentuate the Adama, the earthly part of ourselves, the physicality of ourselves, or do we accentuate the Adama, the spiritual aspect of ourselves? And note, Achor v'kedem Sratani, that both the front and the back Hashem form, Sratani milashon sarot zo lazo, notes as Sratani could also mean that they are at odds with each other. That the physical and the spiritual are very hard to coexist together. And we have to understand that the guf has to be to serve the neshama. The physicality is in order to be able to serve the spirituality. And if we don't have that focus in life, the spiritual can very much overtake, the physical can very much overtake the spiritual. And this is a challenge. As the Or Yahal, Rabbi Yudah Leib Chasman Zatzal, Chevron Rosh Yeshiva points out, he says, in life, and it's such a powerful insight, he says, in life, a person can close their eyes for one moment, and they can miss the most awesome sight in front of them. And spiritually as well, we can close our eyes for a moment, and we can miss out, and we can miss such an incredible opportunity, and we can lose sight and lose focus of what our priorities are. And all it takes is 1 minute. And 1 minute, it's not necessarily 1 minute, it's one action, one Heshachadat, one being that focused, that you can lose your sense of priorities in life and fall from the greatest of heights to the lowest of depth. That was Noach. Noach took this grapevine in order to bring the Sochim, in order to bring wine libation on the altar to thank Hashem. His intention was a very positive intention, but he lost his focus. He planted a vineyard. He drank too much. He utilized the wine for personal pleasure. That fine line between physicality and spirituality was lost, and he became engulfed in physicality. And all it takes is to lose your focus for one moment. And this is the idea, he said. Tzaddik Zeh, the end of 9. Avad Madregato B'Shachas. This great tzaddik lost his elevated level in one moment. U'bepula Yechida, at one action. V'nikra Ish Adama. And you know what an Ish Adama, man of earth, is? Ish Elo. V'losecha v'loklum. He doesn't even have a mindset. El Adama, Afar, Chomer, Gaz, V'achor. He's like the ground in a course type of person. This is what can happen when you're not focused. And indeed, it's a kovet sichos. Rav Achweigel Zatzal notes in source number 10, Noah, who stood firm for 120 years against those who mocked him, and he said, no, the flood's going to come, change your ways. Noah, for 120 years, was able to stand strong. And now, he figured, you know, it's just me and my family. I can let down my guard. I don't need to be that, you know, strong as I was. I fought for 120 years. Now, you know, the guard can come down. The guard comes down, we fall. There is no vacation time in this world. We have to be being ready to fight that Yetzer Hara at all times. And that's what we have to say to ourselves as well. You know, we were on guard, El Roshana Tishrei. Now we can let our guard down. No, there is no letting the guard down. You let the guard down, the Satan comes in. And you see here, as Yaakov Yosef Lekach notes from Rav Shach Zatzal 11, that if Noah, who was an Ish Tzaddik, for one moment lets his guard down, and this is what happens to him, Allah hakam v'kama, how much more so we, if we are not careful, what will the results be for us? And hence the first lesson that we learn from Noah, who went from an Ish Tzaddik to an Ish Adama, who just fell by not being focused for that one moment, drinking a little bit too much, not being on guard as he should have, is the imperative that we need to have to check ourselves at all time. Hatara Megaleh Lanu in Source 12, Zichron Meir, Chochman HaMatzvun quotes, Kayalu lefached v'lizaher mizeh, v'ayalu lasok benitiyah acheret kodeh, v'loding toa kefet. Think! And ask yourself, yes, you want to plant a vineyard in order to bring, right, galvanizing gratitude, to bring a hakar satov to Hashem for saving you. Is this the best thing to bring right now? Am I able to guard myself and not get, you know, overboard and drink? And the fact that he wasn't able to withstand the correct boundary shows you that this was an inappropriate decision that he made. And this is the question all of us have to have. Lefash reish b'maisav, a person always has to check our actions, both positive and negative, not just when we do something wrong. Even here, where Noach really believed what he was doing was correct, to bring the Sochim, to bring wine libations on the altar for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he believed what he was doing correct. Even when you believe you're doing something right, you have to check yourself over and over again to be on guard, to make sure that this is the appropriate measure. As Avodat Yecheskel points out in 14, he says, Adam Sarich Lufakeh Tamina Masav Im Tovim Heim Im Lav. We always have to check ourselves. Is it appropriate or not? Kecher, Ein No Batul B'Masav. Otherwise, you're never sure in anything you do. V'zomidat of Zahiros. This is what the Masil Shisharim talks about, the midah of Zahiros, of how we have to have watchfulness. We have to watch our ways, notes the Masil Shisharim. Hatovim heim im lo, are they appropriate or not? Libeltiozov nafsho l'sakanat havadon chas l'shalom. We have to be careful not to walk like blind people in along our way. And the imagery that the Sfarim give, it's like, you know, you're walking on a tightrope, and if you make the wrong move, and if you're not completely focused, who knows what could happen to you? You'll say to me, this is a very high level to reach. You're right. So we have to start small, but we have to start. And we have to be aware, and we have to find what areas can we at least begin with as Baruch Hashem comes in. Don't go over the abyss and say, it's too much. Whether it's going to be in tefillah, whether it's going to be in chesed, whether it's certain mitzvot, that I have this consciousness, this awareness, that what I am doing, why am I doing this? To be able to live a life of not just going through the routine, you know, back to normal, but to be able to have this acute sensitivity and in questioning of every step that I'm doing. So that, my friends, is idea number one. How could Noach have gone from an Ish Tzadik to an Ish Adama? The answer is, it doesn't take much. It takes not being focused for 1 minute, and you're off the tightrope. It takes that vigilance that we need to have in every step, literally, that we are. And that's our challenge as we re-enter, so to speak, into the regular atmosphere. Part of this, and I think this will help us a little bit from feeling overwhelmed, oh my gosh, like I have to think about everything I do, which of course the answer is obviously yes, but there's another aspect to this, and I think we have to focus on this second aspect. The Asufos Marachos from Goldwich Zatzal 15 points out, the Medrash says the following, Baldurin brings down, based on Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. There are three times the word Vayita is used. Vayita Hashem Lukim Gan Be'eden. Hashem planted a garden in Garden of Eden. Vayita Eshel. Avravinu plants an Eshel, right? That's the place that he did the Echnasar Orchim. And here, Vayita Kerem, he plants a vineyard. So, Darshuch Rabbeinu Me'echan Lakach Noach Hanitia. From where did Noach get this vine to plant? And likewise, Avravinu got his Eshel, his trees that he planted for his inn from Gan Eden, and Noach as well took this branch from Gan Eden. If this branch came from Gan Eden, notes Yasufos Marachos, so obviously we would expect that the greatest thing should come from it. To get a branch from Gan Eden, to be able to bring and replant in this world, you would expect, like my Avraham Avinu is going to have, produce tremendous fruits. What happened? Ubedin li bonei nefo the dad in 15, hecham pagam no benetia, acha gugulazu bigveh haidar jirut, kiura kolkach, what went wrong that the results were so reprehensible? So he notes the following. Chalukim heim hadarim benikudat reshit. When we're talking about the beginning of any process, so then we're dealing with a whole different dynamics here. What we're talking here is about Kevan Ma'asash Dilat Tiv Doshna Shal Karka Ve'erif Dishon Ashkayata Be'er Gishazu Atidim Likbor of Kehit Galuto. It's not just that we're talking about planting a vineyard on a, you know, on any given day. The story of Noach is a story about rebuilding the world. The story of Noach, of Vayachel Noach, literally, he began, is about the Hatchala. The world has been completely destroyed. Now we have to begin rebuilding it from square one. The moment that Noach plants something, it's not just planting a vineyard or planting whatever he plants. It's planting the world. It's setting down the cornerstone for what the world is about. Elishashat HaRishit Adad in 17, Harat HaGoral, Tunaz Rizut Yirut Yeterah. It needs even greater awareness. So while we're saying here that we have to be aware of everything that we do and we may feel overwhelmed, nicha, okay, it's an overwhelming feeling, I grant you. However, there is a specific time that mandates an extra awareness, and that is when we begin anything from the start. Here, Noah is beginning the world order. He has to think very carefully what he's doing. We, who are entering into the beginning of a new year, we have to think very carefully. How do we want to set up the standards for our new year? This week, of between Tishrei and Rosh Chodesh Rav Cheshvan is mamish the key week. It's the week of re-entering into the atmosphere. We have to ask ourselves, the way I daven now, the way I keep Shabbos now, the way all the things that I do is going to set to a certain degree the standard for the year, which is going to set the standard for life, which is setting the standard for Nitzchias, for eternity. This is the time, the Reishi, the beginning of any project, the beginning of any aspect that we are involved with, that is the most crucial time around. Shat Reishi La'olam, Sricha Kivun, HaKavana, Kavana V'Tiktuka Maisa. The beginning always needs to have focus. V'Noah Shishtilo Rishona Haita in 18, Yechurei Gafnim, B'Tein Netia Nefesh Ha'ilavut Yeteira. If planting a vineyard showed a little bit too much passion and enthusiasm for Simcha, it wasn't as balanced as it needed to be. Even though it was Yain Nesachin Toen B'Chavna Et Ovdan Kosher Nivut. What was Noah's problem? He lost the compass. He lost the focus. When you're beginning something, it has to be measured out so, so carefully. As Rav Scheinerman points out in Ol Moshe 19, Hine anu ro'im nachon kil davar shadam makdim atzmo sham hu nimsai. Quotes here of Yerucham and Das Torah. Where you are, what you do is really a reflection of where you are. If this is where he began, it shows you the mindset of Noah. What was really on his mind was mine. And he goes on further, and he says, "The Venerelo Sif." And he says, "Ech latchil b'zei b'yishuv ha'olam, ha'olam atchil mechadash, ein lavi davar shebekochol lekakel l'takol." When you're beginning something new, don't begin with something which has the potential of destruction. And he quotes here again Rabbi Yerucham, and he says, "Anytime you're planting a tree, the shorash, the roots of the tree, will tell you how the fruit of the tree will come out. If the roots aren't good, the whole tree is in danger of rotting. The end is always rooted in the beginning. If the beginning is not sturdy, then the whole building is liable to collapse. And this was the problem with Noah. So we talk about how did Noah go from the Ishtadik to an Ishadama? The answer was he wasn't careful enough. How careful we have to be. It's not just how careful we have to be, we're refining it a bit. How careful you have to be, obviously, at all times, right? The Midas Sahiras, as the Mitzil Shari points out, but particularly how careful one has to be at the Reishi, at the beginning. Whenever you're beginning something new, a new project, a new world order, then you have to weigh very carefully what is appropriate, what's not appropriate. And with this, we can add just one more dimension before flipping this whole idea on its head. And that is our original question. Well, could Noah just, you know, take a little bit of a breather? He went through a trauma. Can he have a little bit of wine, l'nachem et atzmo? And he says, Kashir ro'im in 20, olam b'churbano, ein zman l'nachem. When you've seen a world destroyed, this is not a time to wallow in self-comfort. Zeu hazman livnov l'shakem ne'arsot. It's a time to immediately rebuild. V'lakim mechadat et asher charev, and to rebuild what was destroyed. The problem with Noah was that he was involved in his own personal trying to regroup over the loss of the world, when his focus should have been rebuilding. The Mefi Yeshurim tells a gewaldic maisa, which I had never seen before, where he says that the Kovner Rov, who was from Kiryat Atta, noted that he was in the concentration camps with the Kloisterberger Rebbe sets out. And when they heard that they were about to be freed, the Rebbe said, we have to work very carefully and very quickly to start building mikvahs. Because now that people are going to be freed, they're going to want to start rebuilding their lives, they're going to want to get married, and they have to marry kedat kedim, you need to have a mikvah, you need to have a kosher mikvah. And he says, b'mo yedeim achalushot, in their weak hands, v'amitzukzakot, chafru mikvahs. You know what they did? They dug mikvahs. And they were correct. Many people wanted to get remarried, and they were able to have a mikvah in order to tovel themselves. You could sit and say, the Kloisterberger Rebbe lost 11 children. You could say, oh my gosh, you know, I've lost an entire family. Who can move on? Or you could say, this is not a time for self-pity. It's a time to rebuild. He brings here from Rav Simcha Wasserman sets out in 23. This is very harif, but something to think about. He says, Rav Simcha hayat so'eg neged. Rav Simcha was very adamant against those who were putting millions of dollars into memorials for the Holocaust. He says, instead of spending millions on these projects, and again, there's a time and a place for everything. Immediately, the millions of dollars need to be placed in rebuilding Jewry, in funding schools for boys, funding schools for girls, and funding Kiruv. That's where the money needs to go. Instead of just looking at what we went through, and I feel so terrible. Now, obviously, there's a place for remembering that we shouldn't forget. But right now, what we need to do is not to drink wine. Right now, right after the war, the focus has to be to spend the money in rebuilding. And that's the message of what Noach is about, that we have to be able to be on guard in everything we do, particularly on guard in Reishit, in the beginning of things. And when one experiences total destruction, or on whatever level, personal destruction, lo aleinu, the recourse that we have to take is, now let's move forward, let's rebuild. What was, was, and obviously there has to be a place for mourning, don't get us wrong, but we see so many people, when lo aleinu, they lose somebody, they build a keren in their schus, they build some type of, they make a foundation in the memory of the person, that it's not just, let's memorialize, but let's build further. Let's see how we can take this and rebuild. This, my friends, can be encapsulated. One of the most gorgeous ideas that is so fundamental that L'Tzidcha Eliyahu brings in the name of Rav Wolbe Zatzal, where he says, Habesilus Yeshorim begins his sefer Yesoda Chasidus v'Shorash Havoda, the foundation of everything, Atmimahi, she's barer v'yisamedetz al Adam. It should be clear and truthful to a person, ma chovaso bo'olamo, what is their obligation in their world? Why does the Ramchal not say, ma chov adam ba'olam, what is man's obligation in the world? Ella, the asterisk in 24, Rabosai, we need to walk away with this yisod for our life. Hadgashahi ba'olamo shelo, listen to the words of the Ramchal, ma chovaso ba'olamo. We know what our obligation in this world is. Torah, mitzvos, everyone knows that. However, we also know, there are two things. There's a chova ba'olam. There's an obligation in the world. Keep Torah, mitzvos. And then there's a second idea. What is your personal obligation? And that's a whole different idea. Everyone has their own personal world. The house in which they grew up in. The surroundings in which they grew up with. The kochos and kishronos. The qualities and the strength that they're blessed with. And that, the Rav Chaim says, Shekol Adam Ba'olamo Yesh Lo Rechavoto Shelo. We have our own personal obligation. Chol Miyuchad Sheyesh Lo Mitzad Olamo, based on our world. And that's a whole different world. And that is to build based on our world. To be able to give to this world based on who we are. to make our personal contribution. Chazal say that Noah saw three worlds. He saw the world before the Mabel. That was one world. That was one obligation. He saw the world in the Teva, and that was a separate obligation. And now that he left the Teva, Yoshlo Olam Chadash, Avodah Chadasha, he has a new world to build the world again. And every person in their lives, we all see many different worlds. And everyone has to reorient themselves based on the world they're in, based on the situation that they're in, to respond appropriately. To say, well, I've been doing this for so many years, let me continue doing this. When the nitunim, when all the variables are different, it's a new world. And because it's a new world, we may have to have an obligation to do different things. And this is our obligation, to have our hand on the pulse. And to say what was, and look what I've done, is not enough. Look what you've done is one world. Look what I've done in the Teva is another world. Now look what you need to do in this third world. And that perhaps, and again on the level of Noah, was where he erred. Yes, he lived through many worlds and responded appropriately. But we have to recognize that line and mamish reverberate within us. Ma'chovaso ba'olamo. When you're put into a different situation, you have to ask yourself, now what? What? With who I am, what is the correct response? How do I appropriately build in the world that I'm in and be able to respond to the situations in the world that I'm in? You know, personally, I feel like this very much as a teacher. The way I taught 30 years ago cannot be the way I teach now. It's a different world. It's different students. It's a world of technology. So albeit it may not be using a smart board, you know, which is one approach, which I don't have the availability of in the school that I'm teaching it, but I have to be aware that we're dealing with a different type of student, and it's a different type of student for me to say, well, it worked for 30 years, it will work now. I'm selling my students short, I'm selling myself short. We have to realize ma'chovaso ba'olamo and be able to shift gears and know what the needs are and try to be able to respond appropriately. That, my friends, is to understand Noach on a critical level, that Noach, if I could use the expression, missed the boat, and he drowned himself in the world of physicality without being able to be focused on what his obligation was at that moment. We, who enter into the world after the bubble of Tishrei, also need to ask ourselves how we can re-acclimate into this world. The Reishi, the beginning. Ma'chovaso ba'olamo. Look at where I'm standing right now. Look at my needs of my family. Look at my needs of my community. How can I best respond now, where I'm at now, and be able literally to have our finger on the pulse? Having said this, my friends, we know that Noah was also looked at as an ishtadik. He was a navi. He was a great person. How could you say that Noah wanted to just drink himself into, you know, oblivion, have nechama for the world, almost like forget what happened, to lose himself in his misery? How can we understand this? As the Chiddush Shei Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemya LaTorah points out in 25, the Eishel Fareishel Shevach Api Mamar Chazal, that Yisrael is compared to a gefen, and just like a gefen is the new grapes grow on where the old grapes are, so too Yisrael's Nishanim Aschus Avos. And this is a praise to Noah, that he recognized that he wasn't saved for his own glory, he was saved based on the schus of other people, and he's not priding himself on how great he is. We can look at Noah L'Shevach. Let's develop this idea of looking Noah in a positive way based on two approaches. The first approach is Shilei Pinchas, Rav Pinchas Friedman, again a much longer essay, just like to highlight. He mentions that on the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshat Chayesara, which is the hesped of Avraham Avinu to Sarai Menu, Ziyeshet Chayo, so we pre-kapeh natakarim, from her hand she planted a vineyard. That's reference to Klal Yisrael. Sarai Menu was the matriarch of all of Klal Yisrael. Shenemar ki kerem Hashem svakol beit Yisrael. Pasuk in Yishaya Perakei, that Klal Yisrael are referred to as a vineyard. And there's a lot of Torah comparing Klai Yisrael to a vineyard, that we first get away all the, you know, we work the ground and get away all the thorns, and we have the, you know, the pristine grapes that are left. Noah, who learned Torah, right, he knew which animals to take that were Torah and Tameh, knew, Breishis Bara Elokim, Breishis Bishvil, Reishis Bishvil Yisrael. He knew that the world was created in order to have a Klai Yisrael. So Noah, when he exited the Teva, what he wanted to do was he wanted to be the father of Klal Yisrael. He wanted, by planting a vineyard, is the symbolism that he wanted now to start. He figured that the Kotzim, the thorns, were weeded away. That was all the Rishayim. And now Klal Yisrael can start. Now we can have the beginning of the Jewish people. And indeed, he thought that Shem, Ham, and Yafet, that's why he doesn't curse Ham, he curses his son Canaan, they were going to be the foundation of the new world. Indeed, the Kabbalistic Sfarim point out, the Arizal in 29, on the Pasuk, the Chol Siach HaSadeh Terem Yeh Ba'aretz, and all the beginning of the wheat before it was on the ground, Siach is the acronym of Shem, Ham, and Yafet, that the world could not exist before Shem, Ham, and Yafet came out. They were the Amudei Olam. They were the foundation of the world. So he figured that his children were going to be the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Where he went wrong was A, it was not the right time, and B, he was not the right person to be the Av HaUma, the founder of the nation, albeit, as we note in the Arrow 27b and the top of 28, he was the father of Shem, who is the father of Avram Avinu, so he is connected because he was a tzaddik and his intentions were positive intentions. He is connected in his bracha that Shem should be blessed by all the Yafet, right, did come true. And indeed, Amy Krayot Semi De Pshuto, if you're telling me that he didn't plant a vineyard, literally, he was envisioning having the, you know, the Jewish people, but the Pasuk says he planted a vineyard and became drunk. So he says, you're right. He planted a vineyard in order to be able to understand how a vineyard works, how to be able, the physical vineyard was supposed to be for him a representation of how to plant Klal Yisrael. And one of the things you learn about in the vineyard, as we mentioned, is that the new grapes grow leaning, so to speak, based on the old grapes, which is the imagery Chazal understand that, and this is the end of 30, Zachor LaAvraham, Gefen Mimitzrayim Tasiya Lamanim Shalu Yisrael LaGefen, Maha Gefen Hi Chaya V'Nishen El Eitzi Meiti, just like the new vines grow on the old ones. Kach Yisrael Chayim V'Kayamim 31 V'Nishayim El Meitim El Avos. So to Klal Yisrael grow and rely upon the Avos. And you see this, that Eliyahu Navi, when he davens, he says, answer me in the merit of the Avos. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he davens, answer me in the merit of the Avos. So we see here that the Avos, and he brings Gemara to show us the Avos, then only daven then, but the Avos are continuing, Gan Eden, continually daven for us, that what makes Klal Yisrael special is that the Manhigim, the leaders of the generation, daven in the schus of the Avos, and that they realize the power of the schus of the Avos, and how the Avos are continuing to daven. This is what enables us to survive. And this, v'hineg v'kach nichshel Noach shelo lifalel al b'nei Toro. Now I understand why Noach wasn't worthy of having, being the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Because the foundation of Klal Yisrael is the foundation of Tefillah, where the young, you know, ask for the merit of the old, that we dive into a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we implore Klal Yisrael. Noah, who was missing in this quality, wasn't therefore able to be the founder of Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu davens, even for stone, that's what the founder of Klal Yisrael is to be, is the Korach HaTfilah. We know in 33, Pasuk begins, God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the animals that were with him in the ark, and God caused the spirit to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. Here, the Imul Fanai Malchios, Rav Weizlich, brings down the Medrash that says that when they were in the Teva, Shenitbahel Noach Yachrim Sharbatea Teva Misa. They got very nervous when they were in the Teva, when they saw that Midas Adin was destroying the whole world. And they got very shaken up. And they saw the major waves. Shenitbahel Noach Yachrim Sharbatea Teva Misa Vitzakel Shabbat Filos Vitachnunim. And only in the Teva did he daven that they should be saved. And Hashem listened to his Filos. Noach, you daven too late. Noach, you see the power of tefillah by Skorlikim and Noach. Noach, Hashem remembers. Noach remembers the tefillah. Noach, had you only davened, the Chazal tell us, a little bit beforehand, life would have been different. Noach planted the kerem, he planted the vineyard, thinking that he could plant Am Yisrael. Hashem says, you know what, Am Yisrael is like a geffen because it relies on the tefillos of the avos. It relies on the manhikim, the leaders, to daven as well. You, Noach, daven too little, too late, and therefore you are not worthy of having the new world order come from you. Noach's intentions were very good intentions, and indeed, shame comes from Noach, and Ravinu comes from shame, that ultimately he is connected, but he is not the Av HaUmah. He missed out on what the essential aspect of what a manhig is all about. And a manhig is about being able, al manhig Yisrael, the Aaron 32, Lich Palo, B'nai Doro, to be able to daven for his generation. In that respect, Noah fell short. Another way of looking at the story in a positive way, if we saw that Noah indeed planted a vineyard originally, it wasn't because he wanted to, you know, bury himself in self-comfort. He was really trying to rebuild the world in a positive way. But he missed out on what the ingredients are and what he thought was the right approach. He wasn't able to, and the time wasn't right for this vineyard to be successful, and that's why he wasn't successful. He became drunk. It became, you know, detoured that path, so to speak. The second approach is a very deep approach of Silas Bavovo, which I'd like to go through very briefly, and the upshot is really where to spend our last 2 or 3 minutes, because I think that lesson is really crucial. And he says, 36, Rav Eisenberger, Shlita, he says, Noach Yitzadik Tamim, Noach Matzachem B'nei Hashem. The only time we have an individual found, individual, not a nation, who found favor in the eyes of Hashem, we have Kol Mar Shem Atzachem B'midbar, Amshu Decharev, the only time the individuals found Chem B'nei Hashem is Noach. So obviously, what he did has to be understood in a very deep way. We're talking about a tzadik olam here. So he says, we have to understand, going back to the story of Adam HaRishon. Now we know that when Hashem created the world, we know in 37b that originally the Guf and the Neshama were two separate entities, where the Guf, the body, was supposed to serve the Neshama. And in that respect, in 38, when the body would eat, it would say, not I'm going to eat, the body is going to eat in order to be able to serve the Neshama. I am going to daven. The I is the Neshama. The third person was the body. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally envisioned the world. And the way he describes it so beautifully in 39 is, let's take gives the example of a car. When you fill up a car with gas, right? Think about this the next time you fill up your car with gas. Right? The car doesn't benefit, right? It doesn't say, I feel so good. I am filled with benzene. What a good feeling that is. No, the car is there for the person to drive the car. It doesn't have any personal benefit. It's a kli. It's just a medium to be able to serve a person to drive. And that's why Hashem envisioned the body. The body wouldn't feel any pleasure in eating. It would just have the resources, like the gas, in order to be able to drive a person in their spiritual goals. What happened when Adam HaRishon ate of the tree is now the car, kivyachol, said, do I feel good eating, right? And it's absurd that the kli itself should have any type of hana. The body, the car, is just there to serve the person. And we know that Adam HaRishon felt that this was just to have it in. You know, this dynamics was just too easy a life. Adam reasoned, 42, world master by Tatsin, if he were to eat the fruit that fruit and bring himself and the world down from the rarefied and almost perfect spirituality into heavy physicality, with all the temptations and possibilities of failure which would result, and then hold strong within that lower state, remain true to his creator, that would be a far greater act of service than merely desisting from one simple action of disobedience. Essentially, he wished to amplify the scope of his free will so there would be more work to be done, and therefore more opportunity to draw close to Hashem of his own doing. To be able to have the body feel, and then say, even though it feels, it's not doing it for himself, even though it's gaining benefits in order to serve Hashem, that was a much higher level, and that was the Aveira Lishma, so to speak, that Adam Harishon had envisioned when he sinned. What was the problem? 44, the Pasuk says, Vateira isha ki tova eifu machal v'chiter v'ayilinayim. The moment she takes of the food, the moment they take of the food, there's a physical pleasure there. They realize how beautiful it is. As soon as there's an element of self, of physicality, in that very action, it's doomed for failure. And that's what happened. It was doomed for failure. And we now have the mixture of body and soul together, where the body has its own pleasures, and it doesn't even think when it has these physical pleasures that it's using it for Hashem, that I'm working out on the treadmill. It's not because I want to serve Hashem. It's because I want to have a stronger body. I want to have a good physique, whatever it is. And we forget that the body is just the gas to feed it to be able to drive the spiritual car. Noah, when he takes of the vine of Gan Eden, and according to one opinion we know in 47, that the vine was the very fruit that they ate from. Valdera Sadiqim, the asterisk of 47, Bidavar Shechot Imbo Midratzim, in the very area that they sin, that's the area that we try to rectify it. Nata Karim Vayeshmin Ayayin, what Noah tried to do when the world was destroyed, Noah was born Mahol, Noah was born already with the Prismila felt, he was on that level of perfection. When Hashem destroyed the world and now there's a new world order, Noah understood the Reishit, he understood the beginning, he understood that this was a moment that is going to change the world. What did he decide to do? He decided to replant that vineyard in order to rectify the sin of Adam Harishon and be able to once again bring the world to a level of perfection. And that's in 46 of the Chasam Sofer explained, Vaidgal Betocha Alo, he's rolling around in his tent unclothed. He was like Adam Harishon, V'lo Yispo Shashim, to a certain degree. Noah reached that level of Adam Harishon before the sin. Ah, what was the problem? So he notes in 49, the Pirkei Torah says this explicitly, there was too much like by Chava. There was too much pleasure in this. Why do you have to plant a vineyard? Plant one grape vine. That would be sufficient to have a tikkun of the olam. Why do you have to drink enough to get drunk? Again, that fine line is where he lost it and the world was lost with him. So if we understand this, my friends, before we get to the punchline here, on the first level, where did Noah go wrong? Noah went wrong in that he wasn't very careful in the first steps. And he had to watch what he was doing. The Reishi had to be important. On this level, we could look at Noah positively and say that he understood what he was doing and he wanted to build Klal Yisrael. But again, you have to watch your actions very carefully. If you're not going to be on the level that Hashem demands of the mani, of davening for the people, if you're not going to be thinking through everything you're going to do, you're destined to fail. And the second aspect, what was wrong with what Noah did? It was a reishi. It was the beginning. The beginnings have to be so careful. Here, the beginning, Noah really believed on the positive side that what he was doing was rebuilding the world. Really, he was being metaken chedetz adat. He really believed that v'nata karam on the positive level, Noah was an tzaddik, really believed he was fixing the sin of etz adat. But again, you have to be so careful in your action. And you have to weigh out so carefully, how much do I need to rebuild? How am I going to drink in a way that's going to be different than Adam? And because, again, it's a very fine-tuning that he missed the boat, the world once again came down to the drunkenness, to the rolling in his tent. And the imagery in 48, which is such a beautiful imagery, is that the wine, the grape, is such a perfect imagery of this body-soul relationship. While most fruits, let's take an orange, you peel it off and it's clear what the outside and the inside is. A grapefruit, right? Even an apple you can peel. A pear you can peel. A grape, the outer and the inner are so connected. It's like very hard to peel off a grape. He wanted that the outer and the inner should be so interconnected that we could be able to have both serve Hashem. This is that very perfected level that's so hard to reach. Here, Rav Eisenberg teaches us a lesson, and it's this lesson I'd like us to walk away with. He says clearly, to live a life, and this is our goal, to elevate our physicality into spirituality, to think about what we do, that I'm eating in order to serve Hashem, that my body is not gaining pleasure for its own right, but to serve Hashem. That's obviously the lesson that we learn. That's a very high level to reach, and something we have to work on. Notes of Eisenberger here, there's another aspect we can learn from here, and that's 50. A chavas of the heroes shalola rita taruchnius legasmius. And that is when we are in the spiritual world, when we enter into that arena of spirituality, let's not bring it down to physicality. If we're able to do this, then we'll have an easier time elevating the physicality. What does he mean by this? So he gives a number of examples, 51 through 53. We'll do them outside. Work with me. First examples of bar mitzvah. A bar mitzvah boy is beginning to put on tefillin. A bar mitzvah boy has a chiyuv in for the first time in asiyas ha-mitzvos. The Baal Pela Yoetz has a beautiful tefillah that the nar should say, the boy should say on the day of his bar mitzvah. Wouldn't this be an amazing thing for the father to sit with the child and have the child really focus in on this tefillah, lock himself in his room, being able to prepare himself for this auspicious moment of being Kabbalah's all of accepting the yoke of kingdom? And what happens instead? The boy is so busy with, you know, the bar mitzvah party and this and that, that who has time to think about the awesome responsibility? And he notes in 52, woe to the humiliation of the father who gets up at the bar mitzvah and is, you know, fumbling around to try to say a Dvar Torah. He's prepared everything, the photographer, the band, the meal, the clothes. Ah, the Dvar Torah, he's forgotten to say. What chinuch is this? Where is our focus? You know, it's taking the mitzvah out of the bar mitzvah, and what are you left with? And this is our challenge. The challenge is at this moment of Reishit, the beginning. A boy is becoming a bar mitzvah. This is the beginning of his life in Avodas Hashem. Where are our priorities? Are we just focused in on the physical aspect? Are we elevating this moment in the correct, appropriate way with that Yishuv Adas to be able to create what is a spiritual moment and ensure that we don't lose it in the physicality and able to hold on to this moment? Likewise, he gives the second example in 52 of weddings. Weddings are, again, the beginning of a chassid and kala, building a bais neman, the building the churvos to Yerushalayim. It is an amazing, awesome moment. Do we get so caught up in the pictures, right? You know, the famous joke that photographer didn't get the pictures right, so we have to redo the chuppah again the next day, right? Get dressed up. It's not so funny that we can get so caught up, and there's nothing wrong in pictures, he says. But if you're going to get so caught up in pictures, and this is the perfect picture, and we have to pose in the perfect way for the perfect picture, that you're forgetting that this is a time that where your mind should be, b'shat rachmin ve'et ratzon hazot, right? So here, this moment where the chassan says, harei at mekudeshet li, and the photographer says, I want you to stand in this way so the lighting should be perfect so that I should get this pose, you're missing out on this moment of kedushin, of holiness. We've lost the boat when we're so focused on getting the right shot. We've taken the spirituality and we've brought it down to the physicality. It's like chedei tzadat over and over again. The final example he gives is a chalaka. And he says, you know, when you tell the Rebbe, you know, could you cut the hair again because we didn't get a good enough picture? He says, where should the father's mind be? It should be, I am, you know, raising Kedei L'Gadel pre-Kodesh Hilalim. The first 3 years is holy to Hashem. And now the fourth year I'm dedicating it. This is what you should be thinking about in a chalaka. Do I have the perfect picture? And again, my friends, it's not just the picture, it's not just the food, it's the whole aspect of have we taken these spiritual moments, these moments of beginnings, these moments of Reishi, Vayachel Noach, have we brought him down to Chulin? When we talk about this story, why is it in Chumash? So the lesson here for our lives is screaming out at us. One is, this time of year, are we able to re-enter into the atmosphere with our Reishi, our Hatchala, this week, before Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, are we able to set the correct standard of re-entering into normal life, so to speak, with the real Kiddusha and Tara that we want to set the standards for the year? Are we able to have our priorities, our focus in order? Are we thinking about what we're doing and how we're doing it? This is the Reishi Hashanah. This is the beginning of the year. This is what we're planting for the entire year. We are the Kerem. We are the vineyard we need to plant on. The second aspect, and obviously with this, the davening to Hashem to help us. And the second aspect of Vayachal Noach, that any time you begin a Reishi, Noach was here beginning a new order, and he wanted to begin it as a tikkun of Chayei Tzedakah. Every time we are involved in a new beginning, a bar mitzvah, a chalakah, a wedding, we are beginning a new status of this, whatever simcha it is. Are we focused that this is a moment of tremendous spirituality, that I want the Reishi, the beginning, to be so focused in on what I'm doing and be able to have my priorities so set in order? Or am I so entrapped in the physical setting that I have to have the pictures right and the colors right and the band right and the music right, and I've lost. The Kedusha, I've lost the holiness. And when we've lost the holiness of the moments of Kedusha, and I have debased, Vayachel, Bolshon Chulin, I've debased the moments of Kedusha, then how do we expect to take the physical and elevate it to the spiritual? And that's the bracha for all of us, and we should take this Reishi, and we should galvanize our gratitude to Hashem for all the brachas that He's given us, and all these moments of simcha that He's given us, and be able to hold on to the Kedusha, to be able to hold on to Vayachel Hatchala, that the beginning, if it is in a spiritual focus, and we are connected in the correct way to Hashem, then we'll just go mala mala, upward and onwards, in our service of the Kodesh Baruch Hu.